Up your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, good to be in the house of the Lord. And I appreciate the songs that was sang, testimony, and thankful for the presence of the Lord. James chapter 4, you find that place you're able, let's stand together and we'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. James chapter number 4. And again, I appreciate the Lord letting us come be in the house of God tonight. And I thank Him for the sweet presence. I appreciate everything that the Lord does. Bible says in the book of James chapter 4, it'll be a real familiar passage, but verse number 6 where we'll start, He said, but He giveth more grace. And I want to just say thank God for that. Amen. And I was talking with a preacher one time, and he asked me, it's been years ago, and he said, preacher, you know the only thing better than grace? And I said, what's that? And he said, more grace. Amen. And I think that's right. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. That's a promise. Amen. There's a period right there. Go ahead and take that to the bank. God done made up his mind. If you'll draw close to Him, He'll draw close to you. Amen. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. You double-minded, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10, the Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you tonight. God, one more time. Lord, we're sure thankful, God, for everything been said or done. God, I thank you, Lord, for the good piano playing. I thank you for the good choir singing. God, we thank you for the good presence of God. I'm glad, Lord, that as they just began there in Psalms chapter 3, I'm glad, Lord Jesus, you did not say that an angel was the lifter up of our head, or God, that the brethren would lift up our head. But God, I'm thankful as David recorded that. He said that you was the lifter up of my head. And to God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help us one more time. Father, I pray that, Lord, if this be the last time that we'd ever get to stand and proclaim the Word of God, and Lord, I pray that you'd help it be the best time. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, help us, God, just to share the Word of God as it is to people as they are. Help us, Lord, tonight. And to God, if you don't help us, we're in trouble. And to God, if you don't help us, Lord, it'll be no good. But Father, I'm sure thankful of that, God, for all the times that you've helped us. And Lord, I pray, do it one more time for your own name's sake. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested in all these verses, but primarily in verse number 10. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. And verse 8 it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh unto you. And I got to thinking about this, and you'll just have to bear with me for a few minutes of time. I thought my mind went back, and I realized that I'm preaching in the presence of several engineers, and I'm hoping they'll give me a little grace tonight. But I remember reading as a young man, and no doubt you studied at some point in time in school, that there was a feller by the name of Isaac Newton. And Isaac Newton was real smart, they tell me. And he came up with several laws that regard around motion. And what it is to be in motion, set in motion, and what it is to stop that. And I got to thinking about those three laws of motion that he had. And I thought, well, Isaac Newton got on the bus a little late. I found it way before he came up with it, that God had already recorded the same three laws right here in your Bible in the book of James. And listen, God tells the church how to get in motion. Amen. He tells the church how to stay in motion. As she started playing that song, I thank God I feel like traveling on. Well, I'll say this, I sure don't feel like stopping. Amen. I mean, it's about time. I thank God, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God you've heard me say it 1,000 times, and I mean it with everything in me. I don't want to have to
stand before God and explain what I used to be. And thank God, I want to finish this thing well. And the more than that, preacher, I want everybody around me to finish well. I want, thank God, us to head out of this thing and bless God, moving better for God than we ever have before. Amen. And we find right here that the Bible will teach us how to do that. I rub just a little bit from Sir Isaac Newton. The first law of motion that Isaac Newton recorded was his. It said an object at rest tends to stay at rest unless it's acted upon by an unbalanced force. And I thought, thank God, listen, well before Isaac Newton ever pinned that down, your Bible records for you in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Amen. That means it was nothing. It was an object at rest. It said, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But the Bible said, thank God, there came an unbalanced force. Amen. It started operating on that thing. It said, and the Spirit of God had moved upon the face of the deep. I say, thank God, it was a time in creation when an unbalanced force had moved upon an object at rest, and he set that thing in motion. But I'll tell you even better than that. I remember, thank God, reading over there in Luke chapter 24, when the Lord told his disciples, he said, get up yonder there in the upper room. He said, I want you to tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. And so you find the church of God, and not much happening, a lot of fear in here, and not much happening out there. And they all just sort of sitting at rest until Acts chapter 2. The Bible said, when they were all gathered and one accord in one place, he said, there came a sound, thank God, of a mighty rushing wind. You know what happened? An unbalanced force has started operating upon a subject at the old church. And thank God, she's been moving ever since. I say, thank God. I tell you one that makes me even real happy. And when we started clicking off at this end of time stuff, well, listen, friend, for several hundred, really honestly, 1,000 years, a little more than that, we find that Israel had been a sleepy nation. And thank God, went back and there was nothing much happening. Ezekiel will tell you about that. And Ezekiel chapter 37, said he went out there and he saw a valley and it was full of dead or full of dry bones. And I like how he said it. He said they wasn't just dry, they was very dry. Amen. They wasn't no life in them. And to thank God, and the Spirit of God moved upon Ezekiel. And this is what he said. He said, can these bones live? Boy, I always have liked his answer. It wasn't a Baptist answer. Brother Josh told about that Sunday. He didn't act like he knew the answer. Amen. He just looked back at God and he said, Lord, thou knowest. Amen. And thank God. You know what happened? And boy, that old sleepy nation, and Ezekiel saw an object at rest, had dead bones, very dry, and he began to prophesy to the four winds. And that's a type of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God came down and it moved upon those dry bones. And the Bible said flesh came upon flesh, and they stood up and was a very great army. Amen. And thank God, the Lord put life back in them. And nobody, look here, friend. Folks been trying to put that passage away for thousands of years. But on May 14th, 1948, the Spirit of God moved upon that nation, and up from the grave she arose. Amen. Thank God. Listen, friend. And just like the Lord Jesus, that nation came out of nowhere, has stepped out there, and thank God, on its land. And let me just go on record as saying this. Palestine can take a hike. Amen. I'm no Palestinian apologist. I'm for Israel having every last inch of land that God said from the have. And mark it down, they will, amen. Amen. Oh, yes, friend. I'm saying this. An object at rest stays at rest unless it's acted upon by an unbalanced force. But then I thought about, oh, what a day. And what a happy day that it was. And whenever I was sitting dead and trespasses and sin, I did not have a way to move. I didn't know how to get to God. But thank God, you say, how'd you get there? I didn't sign a prayer card. I didn't go through a 12-step program. I'll tell you how I got in. An unbalanced force had begun to operate on my life. I thank God, didn't even see it coming. I didn't know where it came from. That's right, thank God. I've been just sitting there and minding my own business. And then all of a sudden, listen, didn't have to come through the front door. He came out of heaven's door and right down to the door of my heart. I started operating there and said, you need to be born again. I thank God for the day that the unbalanced force operated on my life. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. I want to say this. You know why there's not more folks in motion in the house of God today? I thank God never have had an unbalanced force operate on their life. Amen. Thank God. Listen, I'm saying this, friend. I'm not talking about, thank God, a case of the do-betters or the turning over a new leaf. I'm talking about when a holy God moves on your life and sets things in motion that'll never stop. And you say, how do you know that? God said so. Amen. At Philippians 1:6, he said he which had begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Christ. And listen, in 1 John, he said they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they were of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. And the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of folks that they've just never been put in motion. Amen. And listen to me, friend. Here's where the church preaching's at. But that's not all that it says. It says, thank God that an object in motion tends to stay in motion unless it's operated. And now look up here at me. Let me help you right here, will you? I want you to stay tuned. Hey, you know the best way to never stop praying is just never stop praying. Amen. And I know that's real deep. Hey, you know the best way, thank God, to never stop preaching is just don't never take a break. Hey, you just keep on preaching. And the best way to never stop testifying, you say, boy, I remember when God used to use me. Well, if it'd been a week or two, I think I'd just go and get to asking God if he wouldn't put me back in motion again. I'll say this to you. When an object's been, now listen, if God saved you, thank God, and put you in the family of God, he's been at least a time or two that you was a running good. Amen. That he took out the old man, put in a new man. It was stronger than nuclear power. It was the wind power of the Holy Ghost. You was a running well. Amen. But in Galatians, the Bible said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? I'll tell you, thank God, listen, you get around some folk and you get to running pretty good, and then before very long, as some friction starts to happen and it slows you down, and then you stop. Oh, listen, friend, and don't never stop. Amen. Thank God, an object at rest. Here, the Lord, listen to what the Bible says. Let me show you four things in this passage of Scripture, and that's friction. Notice the first thing you find, verse 2. He said, you lust and have not. You kill, you desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and you war. He said, yet you have not, because you ask not. I'll say wrong passions. Listen, wrong passion. We start wanting the wrong things, and it'll start slowing this thing down. And thank God, our desires ought to be heavenward. What we want ought to be his glory. Amen. And the next verse says this. He says, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God. Hey, you know a good way to get stopped? And now look here, friend. You get around some other folks that love the Lord, and they're liable to prime you on to keep loving God. But if you get hooked up with the wrong partnership, it's liable to slow you down. Amen. And you say, oh, preacher, I'm gonna go to where they're at, and I'm going to pick them up. And now let me remind you something, friend. The Lord ate with sinners, but I never found where he spent the night with them. Amen. I wish somebody help me on that one there. Hey, amen, thank God. Hey, go fellowship with them. Hey, try to bring them over. But when it came time, you'll find he went back with the disciples and he spent time with the Lord. Amen. Oh, hear me today, friend. I'm saying this. Hey, you better be careful of your partnerships. Amen. Hey, listen, young men, young women. Hey, you better be real careful who you marry. Thank God. Hey, you be running like that right there. Thank God. I get hooked up with the wrong person. It'll be long before you'll find yourself stopped on the Lord. Amen. But then watch what the Bible says. On down there, the Lord Jesus said this. He said, God resists the proud. You want to know how to stop this thing? And now listen, everybody look up here at me. You want to know how to stop your emotion real quick? How you get lifted up in pride. How get to thinking you're the one doing something. And God will throw the brakes on the whole thing for you. Amen. Hey, some folks, they think that this thing couldn't operate without them. Amen. How that the churches couldn't go on. How look here, friend. If the Lord hadn't came back in the next 500 years, none of us will be here and the church will still be doing just fine without us. Amen. I'm sure when Charles Spurgeon died, they thought, oh no, what are we going to do? I'm sure they thought when D.L. Moody died, oh no, what are we going to do? But look here, I've got good news. The church wasn't built on Charles Spurgeon. The church wasn't built on D.L. Moody. It's sure enough not built on Kevin Sexton. But thank God, I'm glad there's a rock. Hey, listen, the everlasting, the creator of the ends, of the whole world. Hey, listen, the one that never faints and never slumbers, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the all in all. He's the one the church is built on. That's why it'll just keep going on. Amen. Thank God, I'll say this. Notice whenever he says in this next verse, right on down verse number 7, he said, submit yourselves to God. And then notice there's another resistance there. He said, resist the devil. Thank God, I feel like in our day, we're resisting God and giving way to the devil. Amen. Thank God. Not putting up too much of fight to him, but putting up a lot of fight on God. I'm saying this. Don't you want to be a church that's in motion? I mean, heading toward the Lord Jesus. And so the first James's first law of motion has an object at rest will stay at rest unless acted on by an unbalanced force. And an object in motion will stay in motion unless acted on by an unbalanced force. I know this right here might get a little shaky for me, but here's the second law of motion. That's what he said. He said force equals mass times acceleration. And boy, that's good. Amen. He'll say, preacher, that don't preach. And it's your... But if I turn it around just a little bit, amen. And let me say it to you like this. If the best of my memory, the way this works is, if I move acceleration, this is not a physics lesson, but just stay with me, all right? But if I were to move acceleration to the other side of the equation, I could say it like this. Acceleration equals a force divided by mass. And what that simply means is how fast something runs, how fast something moves, that depends not just on the weight or the mass, but how big the force is that's acting on it. Amen. Just hang tight right there and we'll get somewhere. So in other words, I can pick up a pebble and I can throw that pebble because I've got more force than it has mass. But I can't pick up a boulder and throw a boulder because it's got more mass than I've got force. Amen. Y'all with me? Thank God. But I got good news, amen. There ain't nothing in your life that's too big for the mighty hand of God to grab a hold of it. You understand, thank God. Praise the Lord, amen. You understand that whatever it is in your life, compared to the God of glory, it's insignificant in comparison to how big he is, amen. All right, just stay tuned. Now here's the verse for that. Here's how he said it. He said, draw nigh to God, and he said, he'll draw nigh to you. And thank God. I'll say this to you, friend. How fast you move to God, and we'll be dependent upon the weight that's on you and the force that's in you. Amen. And so let me say it like this. I mean, I'm trying not to get bogged down right here, but I want to say it like this. And in other words, if you're here and you're lost, and you're under a mighty big weight of sin, that's a mighty big mass. And you say, preacher, I ain't been able to shake that mass. That religion ain't never moved it. Hey, listen, my attitude ain't never moved it. Hell, it never will move it. Amen. But I've got, listen, praise the Lord. Amen. But I got good news for you. In the book of John chapter 12, verse 32, the Lord Jesus Christ said it like this. He said, and I like that. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, when we start preaching Christ being, there's a magnetism that comes with it. There's a power in that that starts drawing folks to themselves or to himself. He'll say, what's it look like? In Mark chapter number 2, or Mark chapter 5 rather, you'd find there's a man named Legion. He tried to cut himself, and that didn't give him no relief. They tried to chain him down, and that force didn't help none either. But thank God one day when the Lord sailed over to where he was, the Bible does not say he walked to him. It doesn't say that he skipped to him. But on that day, there's 3,000 demons. But there's something about Christ that drew him to himself. And the Bible said that he ran to him. Amen. And when he got there, he fell down. And thank God in that day, he got help. Amen. Because the Lord. Amen. I'd say this to you. In Mark's Gospel chapter 2, we find out whenever we're moved, and they some sinners, and they need help, and it's too much for one person. But in Mark chapter 2, there's a paralytic, and the paralytic couldn't get to Christ. But I found, thank God, there's some for me. And they said, let's just go ahead here. There's a force inside us that's bigger than the mass of your problem. And thank God, there's too big for one man. But it wasn't too big for four. Amen. I mean, he said, everybody grab a corner and let's head on up. And when they got there, the press was in the house. And there's a crowding out. And they said, it's not only do we got to get him over, but we got to get him upper. And when they got him upper, they found out they had to tear it down and get him lower. Amen. I'm saying this to you. That's something, thank God. And whenever you get in the house of God, hey, some people were bringing to God that they either don't want to come themselves or they had the inability to get to God. And you know what the church's responsibility is then? Thank God we've got a force inside of us. And you say, preacher, I wish you just knew what I was dealing with. I wish you knew how big my problem was. 1 John 4:4 records it like this. A greater, amen. That's a pretty good start to a verse, amen. That's a pretty good start, thank God. A greater is he that's in you, amen, than he that's in the world. And whatever opposition there is, there's a greater unbalanced force on the inside of a believer that has the ability to overcome, amen. Are you glad for that? I got thinking about the one with the issue of blood, Mark 5. I'll tell you this, friend. Hey, listen, she had a mighty big weight of a problem. Trying to figure out how she's going to get there. Thank God, mighty big crowd. But there's something on the inside of her. Said, boy, if I could just get to the Lord, amen. If I could just get to where God's at, I believe I could get some help. And to thank God that drawing. I'm going to go on record and say, I still thank God for the drawing of the Lord, ain't you? I mean, I don't know, listen, he still, the Bible still records how that he draws them out with tender cords of love. I'll say this to you, friend, if you ever do get in, you'll get in because the Lord draws you in, amen. I'm saying this, friend. And so we find two laws of motion. And we find that acceleration equals force divided by mass. But then James's third law, that would mirror Isaac's third law. And it would go something like his. For every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. Amen. Don't y'all think that's right? And now listen, some of my kids said, they said, we are out of school right now. Amen. And this is not for us.
And this is for the Bible. Watch what your Bible said in this next part, verse 10. And James's third law of motion, he says it like this. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And that is the action. And for that action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. If you'll humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, He will lift you up. Amen. You say, preacher, how do I continue to stay in motion? I'll tell you how you get up, how you got to go down. Amen. Had too many folks trying to go up, and they find themselves going down. If you're going to get saved, here's what the Bible says. Hey, thank God, whosoever seeketh to save his life, he shall lose it. Amen. But whosoever shall lose his life, for Christ's name's sake, he shall save it. Amen. You know what that is? That's an equal and opposite reaction. You say, what kind of sense does that make? Hey, man, don't make none up here. It makes a lot of sense right here. Right. Amen. I'm about to get happy on that one there. Yeah, got too many folks that are trying to get into heaven head first. You don't go to heaven head first. Go to heaven heart first. Amen. God pricks your heart. God deals with your heart. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. With a mouth, confession made unto salvation. Have God changes your heart. That puts in a new heart. Takes out a stony heart. Puts in a heart of flesh. Amen. Everything's got to do with the heart. You know why folks don't do right? Got a bad heart. Amen. Hey, you say, preacher, what's wrong with my heart? It's deceitful and desperately wicked. Amen. Hey, your heart's evil, thank God. And so is mine. Apart from what Christ done. Amen. Bible says it simply like this. If you're going to get in that place, say, how do you lose your life? Well, I'll tell you this. If you're going to go about to establish your life, you'll probably lose it. Do it your own way. What Frank Sinatra said he did it his way. And to listen, his way and your way will never work. His way and your way, you'll wind up in hell. Amen, thank God. But I'm saying this to you, friend. You ever get to a place where you say, Lord, I want to lose my life in you. I want you to have my life. You'll find out that'll be the best life. I'll say this to you. If you're saved by the good grace of God, being saved is the best life you could have ever had. Amen. Amen. Thank God. As they sing that song, if I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd do it. I listen, thank God. I give them all to Him. I mean, listen, He's been the best friend that we've ever had. I want you to understand. Thank God we find if you save your life, you lose it. Lose your life, you save it. Humble yourselves, you'll go up. If you go up, you'll go down. But I got even better news. If you suffer, there's going to come a day you're going to be glorified. Amen. For every action has an equal and opposite reaction. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Bible says it like this. He's given us a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Ain't that good? God, the Bible teaches us because we're children. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, then we may also be glorified. Amen. That's right. Thank God on over whenever Timothy pins that thing down. Says if we suffer with Him, thank God we will reign with Him. That, but if we deny Him, He will deny us. For every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. You know why folks die and go to hell? They had an action. And their action was to deny Christ. You know why they're in hell? There's an opposite reaction. Christ denied them. You know why folks are in heaven? There's a time they accepted Christ. Confessed Him. And as a result, you know what Christ does? He confesses them. Amen. And so we come to the house of God. I'm simply saying this. Well, before Isaac Newton ever got in this place, ever said anything, James already had the same three laws written down. That may not do nothing for you. But they act like Isaac Newton's the smartest fellow that ever lived, or one of them. And here I've got a little old disciple, half-brother of Jesus, several hundred years before Isaac Newton came along. It's almost like God knew what the laws of motion were. Almost like He's the one who made this whole thing. It didn't come out of a primordial soup, but came out of a God in heaven and an unbalanced force. Now don't get too excited right here, but I want you, if you didn't pick up on it, here's how this thing works. You go back and read it. That first one, that first action, that's the work of the Spirit of God. That's pretty good. Amen. I mean, that's how that thing works. That acceleration, that's the Son of God. Acceleration equals force divided by mass. Then you find the last one. Thank God that's the Father. You find in all three. Ain't that? Do you think that's a coincidence? In all three works and actions of a church to stay in motion requires the working of a thrice holy triune God.
Amen.
Now here's the question. I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. Alyssa, come play. Donnie, here's the question. Here's the question. I'm done preaching. I want to send it home here. I ask you simply this. If you're an object at rest tonight, you're probably not going to get in motion by doing the same things you've continually done. Say, preacher, what I need to do, I'd come ask an unbalanced force to operate on my life. There's a time that you can look back and you can say, preacher, I was more in motion than I am right now. It'd be a mighty good time to go ask God to recharge you and set you back in motion. I've cleared my heart. Sing the song. Whoever's going to sing, come up and say, Alyssa, Hannah, whoever's going to play. You've got the message. I've cleared my heart. You do business with God.